This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. The 3-pack is back. The 3-pack is a great value, and the top 3 uses for the air purifier are to eliminate odors, allergens, and air pollutants. Get the 3-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word Howie3.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston. You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. I'm Toby Leary, sitting in for Grace, who's taking a couple days off. And I want to thank you for listening today. If you want to be a part of the show, it's 844-500-4242. That's 844-500-4242. And real quick, I want to take a little detour here and talk about this interesting take. And you got to stay with me a little bit here. We'll get back to the calls in just a minute, but I'm going somewhere with this, so stay with me. So MSNBC's Katie Turr wonders if she's doing more harm than good as a journalist. People just don't trust us, she says. She says that the journalists' trust in the media, the people's trust in journalists in the media has dwindled in recent years. People don't trust us, Turr said last week. In an interview promoting her new memoir, Turr was asked by The Hill's Nali Strange about admitting that she almost walked away from journalism altogether during the COVID-19 pandemic and how she feels about the industry overall. So you have a woman here who realizes that people don't believe you anymore. You've lost the narrative, and nothing can be more obvious than when you look at this January 6th political sham of a hearing, or whatever you want to call it. It's certainly not a trial. When you look at the trial, a typical trial, or even a typical committee that's run through the House or through the Senate, they have politicians on both sides that are able to call witnesses and cross-examine, and none of that is happening with this unselect committee of the January 6th. And you know, when Jim Jordan and was all set to, you know, be the Republican representative on this January 6th, where they're making it sound like they're after the truth of what happened on January 6th, Nancy Pelosi said, take a seat, pal. You're not going to be on this board. You're not going to be on this committee, and appointed Liz Cheney. And so all it's been is a steady stream of one-sided narrative. In fact, they're not even trying to hide it. Like Nancy Pelosi's saying, like, that she's trying to preserve the January 6th narrative. And so, you know, you wonder why people like, you know, don't have any trust in the media, who is just towing the line for the government, who is putting on a show on evening news and, you know, prime time evening news. And all the while, there's stuff like the Hunter Biden laptop, and then all the Hunter Biden cell phone hack, which has been coming out with endless amounts of information being buried online. And it's like Twitter and Instagram are out there playing whack-a-mole, trying to keep anything relevant off the page. And they're saying, oh, this is hateful speech, or this is, you know, anti-whatever, fill in the blank. And they're deplatforming people left and right who are trying to tell the other side and the other narrative. And a movie just dropped, you'll have to search it, but it's called Bloody Hill, The Seven Deadly Sins of January 6th. And I think everyone should watch it. I watched it last night. And, you know, it's the other side basically telling their story. When people who've been arrested and put in prison and are sitting there with no bail for trespassing on the Capitol, and they want to arrest another 2,000 to 3,000 more, and they're saying, we're coming for you, and they're hauling people out of their house at gunpoint in the cover of darkness at 5 in the morning, and their kids are being dragged out on the lawn, and wives taken out of their house half naked, and all to put on a big public spectacle of, you know, arresting these people who were, for the large part, peaceably assembled that day. And, you know, I've waited to comment on this whole topic for a long time. I haven't brought it up at all. And whenever I've sat in on the show, very marginally, but Marjorie Taylor Greene said it best. If you can play cut four for me, Jared.
But the January 6th defendants are being treated differently on a whole nother level. They have been beaten by the guards. They are called white supremacists. They are denied religious services, haircuts, shaving, the ability to trim their fingernails. There's more outrageous things happening there. They're denied time with their attorneys. They are denied the ability to even see their families and have their families visit there. They're denied bail and being held there without bail. Many of these people have never been charged for a crime before. Some of them are veterans, and the treatment is unbelievable.
So does that sound like the America that you grew up in, where people have a right to redress their government? And that's what most people were doing that day. And then those who've been arrested are being treated like worse than a Gitmo terrorist, worse than those who are down in Gitmo and, you know, being held on terrorism charges. I remember when, you know, the brouhaha over, you know, when these idiot prison guards down there were taunting inmates with the Quran and, you know, and whatnot, the brouhaha that erupted over that. But here are American citizens. There's plumbers, electricians, soccer coaches, fathers, husbands. There's, you know, sons, there's veterans that have served our country honorably that went that day to redress their government and are now being held in a DC gulag. And I'm not over exaggerating that in any way, shape, or form. I could do hours on this topic, but look it up for yourself and see if this is being handled fairly, if this January 6th committee hearing is a fair trial where people are, you know, both sides are offered and, you know, defended, and each side has to make an intellectual argument. This is a complete and utter censorship of an entire side of the story. It is pushing a narrative down the American people's throats. And in my opinion, it was done on purpose. If you look at Trump offering 10 to 20,000 people, I'm sorry, 10 to 20,000 National Guard troops, because they knew millions of people were going to descend on DC that day. And it started a ramp up as of the 4th of January of people who felt that the whole thing was unfair and they went to redress their government, and they had every right whatsoever to do that. And yet there's people being held for the crime of trespassing on their Capitol building by their own government. And I'm telling you, this is scary times we live in, but I believe that the people of that day, cooler heads prevailed, and there was no usurping of the government that day. They were outnumbered. There were 2 million people there that day. If they really wanted to eat their own, they would have had their way. Just look at the video of the people storming the Sri Lankan presidential palace. When there's that many people, they walk in and do whatever they want. They weren't there to assault police officers. They weren't there to assault anybody. They were there to make their voices heard. But anyway, I just wanted to draw some attention to that and see what you guys think. 844-500-4242, 844-500-4242. We got time for a call. Let's go to RJ. How are you, RJ?
Toby, hi. Good. Toby, how are you?
Very good, thanks.
Yeah, I was calling for one subject, but then you kind of revealed something there. That the January 6th, yeah, it was just a group of people walking down after listening to President Trump and others speak about what was going on to try to voice their displeasure. Not violently, but, you know, there were agitators in that crowd, mm-hmm. and I do believe there are a lot of things that just have not come out with the FBI involvement and so forth. Plus the fact that the Capitol Police were just letting people in, inviting them in some areas while trying to block them in others.
Right.
So there was a big problem there, and they're not. This hearing that they're doing is not getting to the bottom of anything. It's like you said, it's directing a narrative that this was done seditiously, and it wasn't. This is just a group of people coming to say, hey, we think that there was some shenanigans going on in our voter, in the voting process, and we don't like what happened, and we want a fair shake here and find out what happened.
I agree, and I definitely think there was agent provocateurs within the crowd that, you know, were there for nefarious reasons, and, you know, you got the video of on one side of the Capitol, they're opening the door and moving the gates and ushering people in, and on the other side, they're keeping them out, and, you know, it's going to all come out in the wash. There's millions of, you know, hundreds of thousands of hours of video that's all going to come out in the wash. It's just sad that we... You know, look at our government now and we say, oh my gosh, what is it they are trying to do? And they have the media as their puppet, you know, just willing to toe the line. But yeah, thanks for the call, RJ. Dave, you're next on the Howie Carr Show. I'm sorry, not the Howie Carr Show. Freudian slip. The Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Dave.
The Grace Curley Show, the That's number right. one talk midday talk show in Boston.
Thank you for setting me straight, Dave.
That's all right. You're doing all right. Hey, listen, no, I just want to point out that, you know, that such an obvious fact is that Donald Trump did not tell the crowd to go there. He said, I know you're going to go there, because everybody knew they were going to go there, including the Capitol Police, including Pelosi and everybody else that should have prevented them from getting in the first place.
Yeah.
So they instigated it. They allowed it. They wanted it to happen. This was something they wanted, and they got it. Good show out of it, and they're still trying to make the show, but I think it's wearing thin, and we can see the emperor has no clothes.
I agree with you 100%.
Donald Trump did anything wrong.
Yeah, he definitely said, peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard. Nothing can be... What's nefarious about that? You know, and meanwhile, we have politicians on the other side that won't denounce people that are coming after Supreme Court justices while they're eating in a restaurant. And we have other politicians saying, you know, you don't let them eat dinner. You go, you confront them wherever you find them at the gasoline station and don't let them, you know, basically get in their face. And meanwhile, President Trump didn't do that. And they're trying to paint him as the tyrant that he did. And, you know, I don't care if you like the guy or not, frankly. What they're doing is Big Brother-esque, and it's 1984. It's downright scary. And I feel for a lot of the Capitol Police because they were put in a situation that was a no-win situation. It's a blivid, if you ask me. And I'll let you Google blivid so I don't upset the censors. But all right, we will be right back after this. You're listening to The Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. I'm your guest host, Toby Leary. Thank you for joining us so far. It's been a lot of fun talking with you all. If you want to be a part of the show, the number is 844-500-4242. That's 844-500-4242. And Don, you've been on hold for a while, so go ahead, Don. How are you today?
I'm great, Toby. Thanks for asking. First, I'd like to commend you on the great job you do on the radio and all you do to defend gun owners' rights and all Americans' rights, and it's greatly appreciated.
Well, thank you. The check's in the mail.
My question is this. I've got a SIG 226 I've had for a bunch of years that I love, but unfortunately, arthritis in my hands has set in so bad that I really can't even rack the slide anymore. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking for something that's, I know M&P, I think it's the Shield, has an easy slide or something.
Yep.
So I'm wondering your thoughts on that piece and any other recommendations of others that I might try.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. The Shield Easy is a gun that has been designed for exactly this reason. There's some people with arthritis or just, you know, weak grip strength and whatnot, or, you know, some sort of muscle atrophy or whatever. Or we just get old, you know, sometimes that happens too. And you can rack the slide very easily. It was designed for that reason. You can also load the magazine very easily because there's little tabs on the side of the magazine that you can pull down and kind of, it assists you in loading it without the aid of a speed loader or something to that effect. It's also a very good gun overall as far as a shooting gun is concerned. They have a model called the Performance Center as well, which I like a little better than the standard model. And it has a flat face trigger. It has a ported barrel to keep muzzle rise down. It's available in 380 and in 9mm. So depending on how sensitive you are to recoil, I would say, you know, you could look at the 9mm or the 380. Or you could also look at a 1911 in a 9mm caliber, like a Commander or a full-size 1911 size in the 9mm, because they tend to have a little bit less spring in them as far as than the 45 does. The 45 has a pretty stout spring in it, and the 9mm ones tend to rack a little easier. But I would say that's the only word of caution would be going from a 226, which does not have a thumb safety on it, going to a 1911 could be, you know, cumbersome to learn, you know, long after you've been shooting a lot. So if you have the muscle memory to defeat the safety as you present to the target, then I would say go for it. But if not, go with the Smith & Wesson Shield Easy in 9mm if you can handle that recoil, or jump down to the 380. So thanks for the call, Don. It's a great question. And if you want to jump on the line with me today and you have a question about guns, or you want to comment on anything we've been talking about, we're kind of going free for all today. It's 844-500-4242. That's 844-500-4242. And today's poll question is brought to you by JJ Manning. JJ Manning Auctioneers, whether residential, commercial, or land, JJ Manning can get your property sold now. To learn more, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or jjmanning.com. With over 16,000 sales and satisfied clients, you can be the next one. Jared, what is the poll and what are the results thus far?
Why do you think Dr. Fauci is retiring? To spend time with family, or he sees the writing on the wall?
Mm-hmm. I see the writing on the wall and the time is short. What I really want to know is, what is he so afraid of? But anyway, what are the results?
98% believe he sees the writing on the wall. 2% think it's to spend time with his family.
Yes. And I thought about it too late, but I think we should have had that third option and take him at his word that he really wants the next chapter of his career. But I highly doubt that is true. But anyway, did we play the cut with... yeah, we did. We played the cut with Fauci. So it's pretty funny. Anyway... enough about him. And before the break, we were talking guns and we were talking about the January 6th committee there and redress of government. And Don from Stoughton, who called up earlier, has a good explanation, which I'll read on the other side. So this is the Grace Curley Show. Stay tuned. We got plenty more coming your way. I'm Toby Leary.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. We are happy you're here and you're stuck with me for a couple of days as Grace vacations for a few days. Got to take a couple days off this summer. And so I'm here with you today and tomorrow. So please tune in. 844-500-4242 is the number if you want to be on the show. Would love to have you. And we are going to be joined with a guest this segment here. I got Rob Pincus joining us. He will be jumping on the line here in a few. And I know he's attending a class out in Tennessee right at the moment. But as soon as he's ready, guys, give me the heads up. But yeah, Rob's a great guest of the Rapid Fire show that I do on the weekends. He's also a firearms instructor that does more training. He's the hardest working man in the industry. So I'd love to get his take on what's going on. So, Rob, are you there with us?
Hey, Toby, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for joining us. I know you're in the middle of a class and it's hard to break away for a minute, so I appreciate the time. How's everything going?
It's going great, man. I'm down here at Tactical Response as part of our Personal Defense Network training tour. And again, as you said, this week, I'm busy, but I get to be a student. Don Edwards is teaching this class. And, you know, I was actually talking with your engineer, Matt. I missed. If you threw a question to me or you have a topic you want to talk about, I did miss that. So
yeah.
Let me know what you want to talk about, because it's probably not what I'm doing down here in Tennessee.
Well, no, it was. I just wanted to get your initial reaction. I know 74 minutes of video have come out from this Uvalde, Texas shooting. It's something that people are still talking about, and it's, you know, heartbreaking to see. But you have a law enforcement background. You've also trained, you know, some of the tip of the spear guys who do this for a living, the door kickers, if you will. And you know, what went wrong there? What went right? What, you know, how can we learn from this horrific experience? And what was your initial reaction after, I'm sure, combing through some of the video that's been released over the past week or so?
Yeah, I'll tell you that where I started, as you said, you know, I have a background as an armed professional and certainly teaching and having the honor of providing, you know, what little I can to some of the greatest warriors in the world, teaching guys in law enforcement all around the globe and working with our allies overseas, things like that. And so I always have to be the benefit of the doubt, right? And so when the news started coming out, when we started hearing about these delays and nothing was done, and the cops were just waiting in the hallway, you know, I tried to think of all the ways that could possibly have been the right thing to do. You know, I was trained as a hostage negotiator many, many years ago and served on a negotiations team. There is a time when it goes from active shooter to a hostage situation where you don't kick the door. And if you're talking to the guy and you can talk him out and save some lives, obviously, we're more worried about the bystander, the hostage's lives, but if we can save some lives and not have cops get shot at, let's do that, if he's talking on the phone. But, you know, as it turns out, here we are 2-3 weeks later, and I've run out of benefit of the doubt that the dereliction of duty, the lack of leadership, the lack of initiative. We now heard this last week, there were over 350 officers on scene. Everybody's talking about the guy who looked at his cell phone. Everybody's talking about the guy who used the hand sanitizer. Everybody's talking about the guy who thought he got shot, ran away. But we got to be talking about 350 officers from federal agencies, from Texas Department of Safety, the local, the school system, the county sheriff. Everybody who was there needs to be answering. And I get it. If you're the guy on the perimeter, trying to keep the media out, you think the guys in the school are doing what they're supposed to be doing. And yet, nobody was doing what they needed to be doing for over an hour, and it's incredibly disappointing. You say people are still talking about this. You know, people talk about the North Hollywood bank robbery. People talk about the Miami FBI shootout from 1983. People talk about Columbine from 1999. People are going to be talking about the 2022 failure in Uvalde until you and I are dead, because this is going to be a scar on law enforcement. And the only thing I can tell you that's good is, I firmly believe that 99.9% of police officers out on the street today, even if they maybe thought they'd run towards the gunshots last week, this week, if they're still wearing the badge and they're still driving around with flashy red and blue lights, they better be rededicated to that, because that's what needed to happen.
Right. No, well said, and I think that's exactly the sentiment we were talking about, and I bet you there's plenty of guys in that parking lot that day that wanted to go in and wanted to do it and were ordered to stand down. And that's, you know, that's the unfortunate thing.
What I think is going to have to be is operational complacency is what I call it. And kind of somewhat, it's not my job. So someone else, they knew guys were in there. Mm-hmm. You have that the parents, we had that one off-duty guy who went in with like the barber shotgun and got some kids out, that kind of thing. But as far as the officers that were there on duty, you know, if you're the 173rd officer that showed up, you, in 2022, 20-plus years after everything changed, when I was still full-time law enforcement at that time, when Columbine happened, everything changed, and I've taught active shooter response all around the country.
We're losing you there, Rob. Darn it. We'll have to get you on another time when the when the connection's better, but you must be down in a hole. So we're going to hold you there, but I appreciate you jumping on the line. It just, it's painful, but I've been through your Rob Pincus's active shooter, and let me know if he comes back on and it sounds better, guys. I've been through his active shooter training class, and remember the part where he talks about after Columbine, when we went from a wait for the SWAT team guys to show up to the all bets are off and we're going in and we're going to confront the shooter. And the one thing we know is that when these shooters are confronted with armed resistance, they generally end very quickly. Even look at the Buffalo shooter in the grocery store in Buffalo. An off-duty police officer engaged that threat with his handgun, and there's no question he saved a bunch of people's lives by doing that. He personally died in the process, but lives were saved that day because that hero confronted that coward and that active shooter and that evil guy with the gun. So thanks for weighing in, Rob. I know people got the drift of what you were saying. It's always good to have you on the show, and I love getting your opinion on that. Kevin, you've been on the line forever and a day, so go ahead. You're next on the Grace Curley Show.
Hi, Toby. I wanted to give an answer for when you need a 30-round magazine, and even at those times, it's probably not enough, and that is when a riot comes to your address.
Mm.
I know you're familiar with the video of the Korean storekeepers and at the L.A. riots, and
yes,
that's really the only thing that kept their business from getting burned to the ground.
Yeah, exactly. Go ahead. Sorry to talk over you.
That's right. I was 6 years old when a riot hit the town I lived in New Jersey. A cop was murdered, and everything just went crazy. They called it the long, hot summer. And I remember it crystal clear. I'm 61 now, so that's 55 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You
make a great point. I mean, that is the thing, is I don't want to even be in the conversation of why does anybody need, because that is the basis of communism, if you think about it. The basis of communism is a needs-based society. And if we are truly a needs-based society, we need food, water, and shelter. Everything else is a luxury. We can live in a mud hut, grow corn in the backyard, and we can, you know, get our water from the stream and boil it to, you know, get rid of all the bacteria and the things that'll kill you. The point of the matter is, we're not a communist country. We're not a needs-based society. We're not a socialist country. And we don't operate under politicians telling us what we need and what we don't need. That is not the intent of the Constitution. In fact, if I go back to those quotes, there was one that, I don't want to butcher it, so I'm going to say it here. I prefer dangerous freedom over peaceful slavery. That was Thomas Jefferson's letter to James Madison. He understood that there is an element of danger in true freedom. And we've become this overly regulated society where, you know, you can't rip the label off a mattress without the threat of federal law coming down on you. Or, you know, we have warnings on everything. The end of the argument for people who say nobody needs a 30-round magazine, nobody needs a high-capacity weapon, nobody needs a semi-automatic rifle, that if you take that to its logical conclusion, then we would all be in a padded room eating our yogurt with a spork, because that's the logical conclusion of that. If we're making sure that nobody could ever injure or harm themselves under any circumstances, then we're all now institutionalized and put into a safe spot, an area where nobody can come at me. I'm in a room that's got padding on the walls, and I'm sitting there, you know, drooling on my chest while I eat my yogurt from my spoon. That's the logical conclusion to that argument. And you say, oh, that's ridiculous, that's extreme. But that is exactly what it is. We're not a needs-based society. If that was the case, no one would have cars. No one would have nice luxury things. We wouldn't have flat screens in our living rooms for the media to tell us what we need and what we don't need. You know, that's the end result of that all. So I've kind of, I want to explain it in the best way that I can to people who are legitimately curious, like in the first hour, Pat, who called, like, you know, what's up with the AR-15? You know, I'm happy to have that conversation. But that is the bottom line. And Don and Stoughton emailed me and he says, the best answer for why an AR-15? The framers feared that future governments might try to become tyrannical, so they denied to Congress states the privilege of creating a militia for no tyrannical government would ever do so. As such, only the people get to create a militia of armed citizens able to protect their freedom. And I would agree with that. So we got time for another call here. Yeah, so Jerry, you're next on the on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Jerry.
Hi. I was just wondering, I heard not too long ago that I hear you talk about how ammunition is very hard to get or it is limited. And I heard that there is an important element that goes, I'm not sure if it's the firing pin, that is needed to make that gun fire. And China has scooped up all of these minerals that are produced in all these different areas of the world. And then they're withholding this mineral so that we can't get the ammunition that we need. If they're allowed to have that kind of power, then we're screwed.
Yeah, there's no doubt that China has been hoarding minerals for a long time, and what you're talking about is the priming compound is a very important element to making ammunition, and this primer is extremely difficult to make. There's a few manufacturers that do it in this country. Federal is one of them, and I was talking with one of the executives that worked there over the weekend. We were a guest at the Zach Brown band concert on Friday night of Vista, which owns Federal Ammunition. And my business partner asked them, so what would it take for us to make primers? Because this is where one of the shortages comes in. And the guy laughed at us and said, we actually sell primers to major ammo manufacturers because they can't figure it out. So it's extremely difficult and costly to set up this type of manufacturing. And it's done largely overseas. That is one of the elements that's creating ammo shortages. Although I think we're kind of out of the woodwork on the ammo shortage now. Now just the price is still pretty high, but it's coming down. So that's a good question, Jerry. China definitely has a lot of leverage because they control a lot of the chemical plants and whatnot where we get these type of priming compounds. So anyway, hopefully we'll see that change soon. So we'll be back after this. If you're on the line, hold on. We'll get to your question on the other side. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley. She's working for you.
I'm like Bette Midler and For the Boys. Gotta keep the troops entertained.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. I'm Toby Leary, sitting in for Grace, and she will be back on Wednesday. You're stuck with me for the next 2 days, and hopefully that's a good thing in your mind. So, Zebra, you've been holding on for a while, so go ahead, Zebra. How are you today?
Yeah, so much in a big table that you're handling really well. I got a question regarding out-of-state concealed carry, but I also wanted to give you another piece of the puzzle. When someone asks you, what do you need that gun for, what do you need that many bullets for, the truth of the matter is exactly what you explained, but the quick answer to these people is because you might miss with the first 29, and you can offer suppressive fire so innocents can get out of the way of a shooter. So it's not, they probably never fired a weapon before. They don't understand, unlike the movies, fire one bullet and a bad guy goes down and everybody always hits their mark. when they get out in the range, you actually find out ain't so easy. But I'll get on to my question here. My question is, long ago in my job in security, I had a Massachusetts out-of-state license to carry, the state police, high capacity. Now, I had it for many years, but for employment reasons and other reasons, it lapsed. And I was thinking about getting it again. Is there any type of either grandfathering or what would my process going back through? What would you think it would be?
You might be able to renew it. It depends how long it's been expired, but sometimes they just let you renew it if you've held it in the past, because they're going to conduct the background checks all over again anyway. So the biggest difference between a renewal and a new application is the fact that you need to take the course again. Or at least show that you've taken the course with the training requirements set up in Massachusetts. You got to have a approved class, and show that you've taken that with a certificate. So if they'll let you renew it, you won't have to produce that. But if they won't let you renew it, then you'll just have to produce that. And if you don't have one, you're going to have to take the class, unfortunately. So excuse me. So we do have those training requirements in Massachusetts. And, you know, much to my dismay, Brett Kavanaugh weighed in on the majority opinion of the Bruin versus New York State Pistol and Rifle Association. And he said, oh, let me just point out that you can still have licensing requirements in order to have people exercise their right to keep and bear arms, which I thought was a dumb thing to put in there when Clarence Thomas said that the Second Amendment is not a second-class right and should not be treated any differently than any other right. And this state and several others charge a fee and sell a license and require you to jump through hoops. No, New York has just required people to go. They don't even know what they're going to require. In fact, they just told that the sheriffs that they can't issue license to carry in New York. This was a leaked email. Until next spring, because they're rehabbing the whole requirements to have live fire and 8-hour courses, et cetera, et cetera. So crazy. But all right, more after this. This is the Grace Curley Show. We will be right back.